Yashoranandana Brajajanaranjana Yashoranandana Brajajanaranjana Namuna Kiravana Chari Yamuna Kiravana Chari Jaya Radha Madhava Kunjabi Hari Kopijana Vallabha Giri Vadadhari Yashoda Nandana Braja Jana Ranjana Yashoda Nandana Braja Jana Ranjana Yamuna Kiravana Chari Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari Kapijana Vallabha Giri Vadadhari Jai Om Vishnupad Paramahamsa Parivajakacharya Ashtotra Saptashishkumar His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami, Śrīla Prabhupāda ki jai. Anant Koda Vaishnavinda ki jai. ISKCON Founder Acharya, His Divine Grace, Śrīla Prabhupāda ki jai. Gaura Premanandi. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to Śrīla Guru and Gaurāṇḍa. Nama Om Vishnu Pārāya Krishna Prasthāya Bhūtāṇḍa. Śrīmatī Bhaktivedānta Swāmī Nitya Nāmanī Namaste Saraswati Devī Gauravāṇī Vasāyinā Nirvaśeṣa Śūnyavāṇī Paścācchitēsitāyinā Om Namo Bhagavate Vāsudevāya Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya Hare Krishna, good evening everyone. This cool air is refreshing, but it's also notice of a season change. Be extra careful with your health during this time, or to speak of the COVID virus, colds and flu, travel and this kind of change of weather. So please take care. This evening, we're going to be reading a series of different verses, but we're going to begin with chapter 10, The Opulences of the Absolute, text number 20. And the theme is going to involve and surround the name that's given to Arjuna in this verse, which is Gudakesha. So, verses up here we can chant. Repetition. Aham Atma Gudakesha Sarva Bhutasya Stitita Aham Adischa Madhyamcha Bhutanam Anta Evacha Please chant. before we read the translation and the purport, how many people here know what this name of Arjuna, Rudrakesha, means? Just raise your hand. Okay. So it's conqueror of sleep. Rather interesting name, isn't it? Conqueror of sleep. As I said, we'll explore that a bit today. Translation. I am the super soul, O Arjuna, seated in the hearts of all living entities. I am the beginning, the middle, and the end of all beings. Purport. In this verse, Arjuna is addressed as Rudrakesha, which means one who has conquered the darkness of sleep. For those who are sleeping in the darkness of ignorance, it is not possible to understand how the Supreme Personality of Godhead manifests himself in various ways in the material and spiritual worlds. Thus, this address by Krishna to Arjuna is significant, because Arjuna is above such darkness. The Personality of Godhead agrees to describe his various opulences. Om Agyanatimanandasya Gananjana Shalakaya Chakshan Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Guru Vahinamaha. So Rudrakesha, one who has conquered the darkness of sleep. I always found that intriguing, mainly because when you delve into the subject matter of what it refers to, you find out that you're deep in the ignorance of sleep yourself. And then you get some appreciation for what Krishna is talking about. Otherwise, it seems strange. Why conqueror of sleep? What does that have anything to do with the battle of Kurukshetra or the transcendental message that Krishna is giving in the Gita? Well, come to find out, from our acharyas, and as highlighted by my godbrother Bhanu Swami Maharaj, Krishna likes to speak in riddles. He doesn't like to reveal himself so openly, so quickly to everybody. So you'll often find he speaks in ways which are mysterious and curious, like conqueror of sleep. Why conqueror of sleep all of a sudden? They're on a battlefield, for goodness sakes. So why this riddle-like behavior by Krishna? Well, as I said, he doesn't like to make himself so readily available to people. And he also wants to see how serious we are about knowing him and knowing the process of self-realization. I always have another favorite of these kind of riddles that the Vedic literatures present to us. And in the Ishopanishad, there are two of them I'd like to share with you. One is the invocation. Om Purnama Dat Purnamida Purnat Purnashit Udayat Udachate Purnasha Purnam Adaya Purnam Eva Vasishate. The Personality of Godhead is perfect and complete. And because he is completely perfect, all emanations from him, such as this phenomenal world, are perfectly equipped as complete wholes. Whatever is produced as a complete whole is also complete in itself. And this is the part that's the riddle. Because he is a complete whole, even though so many complete units emanate from him, he remains a complete balance. Anyone who's ever studied physics knows that you can't take a property from something without that property losing something. But here Krishna is saying that he's so complete that even a complete unit, a complete whole taken from him, it doesn't affect him. He remains perfectly full and complete. There's an example that explains this riddle very easily. Does anybody know what it is? I know I'm a little vague here, but just depending on your keen intelligence, maybe you can remember from instructions. What thing, if you take a complete whole from it, it doesn't take away from the original balance? Huh? Infinite? Well, something more simple than that. It's a candle, isn't it? If you have a candle burning, you can take another wick and put it in that light and get the same candle power from the original candle power without that original candle losing any of its illumination ability, isn't it? So this is an example how, even though they're kind of riddles, they can be conquered. And that's the significance of the word gudication, this verse we just chanted. Krishna's explaining to Arjuna that although this material nature is difficult to overcome, difficult to understand, it can be done. You can become gudakesha, or a conqueror of the darkness of ignorance that permeates this material world. So he's giving us hope that you can actually overcome these things. And so it turns out to be not such an unsolvable riddle after all. Of course, the other verse in Ishopanishad is a little bit more difficult to deal with. It says, the Supreme Lord walks and does not walk. He is far away, but he is very near as well. He is within everything, and yet he is outside of everything. So wrap your head around that and try to figure it out. It takes the mercy of the Supreme Lord to be able to understand how he's describing himself accurately, even though it seems to be some contradictory, riddle-like statements. But this name Gudakesha is our savior, because Krishna is indicating to Arjuna that yes, it's possible to overcome the darkness of ignorance and understand all these things. Of course, two people seeing one thing, having different visions about that, is also something that at first seems a little puzzling, but when we understand the motivations of the two different individuals, then we can understand. Now, I'll give you an example. Many years ago, I went to a junkyard, an automobile junkyard, where they have all wrecked cars and everything like that. I'm sure you've seen them. So I went to the junkyard, and I was with another devotee, we were in Dodi and Kota, and I happened to strike up a conversation with the owner of the junkyard. And I said to him, "What do you do with all this junk here?" And he said, "To me, it's not junk. It's all very valuable treasure." So he had a use for that junk. I had no use for it. So I saw it in one way. Another person, because he had a use for it, saw the very same thing in completely the opposite way. This is how material nature bewilders us. Based on our desire, we view the material nature in an exploitive way. And when we can gain something, we accept it. And when we can't, we feel we can't gain anything, we reject it. Is it sankalpa vikalpa? Accepting and rejecting. That's the business of the mind. But the mind is covered by ignorance, and this ignorance makes us think in different ways. So these things have to be conquered if we're going to understand the nature of the Supreme Lord, our own nature, and the nature of this world. And so therefore, Krishna gives us instructions in Bhagavad Gita, and we're going to go over a couple of other verses which further highlight the meaning of Gaudakesha and how we can see the true lessons to be learned from this material world. Back in the second chapter of Bhagavad Gita, there's a verse that again contains one of these contradictory statements. So let's examine it. It's text number 69 of the second chapter. Krishna tells Arjuna, "What is night for all beings is a time of awakening for the self-controlled. And the time of awakening for all beings is night for the introspective sage." Again, two different understandings of the same thing that's presented, same circumstance that we're situated in. But one views it based on control of the self, control of the mind and the senses, and the other views it in terms of how to exploit this material nature. So how do they look at these different, what's the vision of these two different people, the introspective sage and the materialist? Well, we know that to attain enlightenment, we've been given different do's and don'ts by the spiritual master. And even though some of those don'ts are very attractive, we don't do them, and we don't look for pleasure and satisfaction there. But what about the materialists? What do? They look at those very same things as the source of their happiness or potential happiness. So where does the transcendentalist look for happiness? He looks to the regular principles of devotional service. He looks to the practice of sadhana bhakti. He looks to a regulated life in that way, a godly life. Even though that may appear to be very austere to the sense enjoyer. But the spiritualist, the transcendentalist, the introspective sage, actually finds happiness there. The introspective sage also looks with indifference to the same things that the materialists look for. The happiness and distress that rule their lives. The introspective sage is detached from them, whereas a materialist is madly attached to these kind of things. So Krishna's teaching us, you can understand the riddles of this material nature and this material world, but you have to look in the right place. You have to look in terms of sense control as opposed to sense enjoyment. It's just a matter of changing that perspective. Actually, there's an interesting story. I would swear it's a Birbal story. You know who Birbal is? Birbal is a sort of a minister in Akbar's court. And Akbar liked to challenge him with different kind of riddles like we're talking about here tonight. And so I swear this is an Akbar story, but it's a psychological principle now that has been accepted by psychologists as dating back to 1924 only. It's called the streetlight effect, and it's about where to look for what you're searching for. It goes like this. A policeman once saw a drunk man who was searching the ground underneath a street light. So the policeman went over and asked him, well, what are you looking for? He said, well, I lost my keys, so I'm trying to find them. So the police officer said, okay, I'll help you. And they both started looking to find the gentleman's keys. I should say the drunkard's keys, because that's very much part of the story. Anyway, they're looking for the keys, couldn't find them. The policeman finally answered, are you sure you lost them here? And the drunkard said, no, well, I didn't lose them here. I lost them in the park. And the policeman was incredulous. What do you mean you lost them in the park? And why are you looking here? He said, well, because the light is here. I'm looking here. This is the street light effect. And it shows that we need to look in the right place if we want to find happiness. If we want to solve the riddle of this material nature, we have to look in the right place. Otherwise, how will we ever be able to find the cure to our material disease or solve these riddles that are presented before us? So as I said, this has kind of become sort of like a psychological principle, and it's called a type of observational bias. This is what psychologists have taken this old Birbal story and formed. It's like, if you want to know about the Hare Krishnas, then how are you going to find out about them? Well, you could ask them directly about themselves. Or you could go to a book on an anti-cult book and try to understand Hare Krishnas from there. But that's like taking advantage of looking in the light when you lost your keys someplace else. What are you going to, you're going to get a biased view if you go to someone who has a biased orientation towards the Hare Krishna movement. So you have to go where you can actually get knowledge. You have to know where to look. And so Krishna is teaching us in this second 69th verse of the second chapter where we need to look to understand our predicament in this material world. So that's two things. First, that it's possible to overcome this darkness of ignorance, gudakesha. You can transcend sleep or the darkness of ignorance. The second point is we have to know where to look. So we had the riddle about night and day being different for different orientations. So what will we actually see when we look in the right place? We need to know that as well. That's some encouragement for us. What we'll actually be able to see. And Krishna explains that to Arjuna in Bhagavad Gita, also using this name, Gudakesha. He says, O Arjuna, whatever you wish to see, behold at once in this body of mine. This universal form can show you whatever you now desire to see, and whatever you may want to see in the future. Everything, moving and non-moving, is here completely in one place. So Krishna is telling Gudakesha, Arjuna, the wondrous vision you'll be able to have if you accept seeing in the right place and accept the endeavor in your life to overcome the darkness of ignorance. This is coming again. This is from the 11th chapter of Bhagavad Gita, just having finished the 10th chapter, which was the opulences of the Absolute, showing all the wonderful and mighty manifestations of the Lord's presence in the world. Krishna can give us the power to see anything and everything that we ever wanted to see. Isn't that a wonderful opportunity? We all have some little doubt or some interest in seeing something. Krishna can show it to us if we have faith in him and follow his directions about how to see. So that's what Krishna is encouraging Arjuna, again, by using this word, gudakesha. If you are gudakesha, if you have conquered, if you've taken the correct steps to overcome the darkness of material nature, then this is what you can see. This is how you will be rewarded with vision. By the mercy of Krishna, Arjuna was able to see everything. So, that's what we'll see. Now finally, what we can do with that vision. And this is an important part of the coming out of the riddle-like nature of this material world. What you can do. Because one thing that you'll see is that self-realized souls, perfected beings, live their lives to serve others, to help others. And so having this knowledge presented before you, it helped convince Arjuna to fight in the battle of Kurukshetra for God's purpose, to establish God's order in society. So having this knowledge means how you can act to benefit others. And so if we truly become gudakesha, then we can do things that are wondrous. And this is explained in a Bhagavad Gita verse which chapter is it again? Let's see. No, this is from the Srimad Bhagavatam. The only other place where gudakesha is used. This name gudakesha is used 2 times in Bhagavad Gita and 1 in Srimad Bhagavatam. And so in Srimad Bhagavatam, it's used to show what we can do to transform the world for our good and for the good of others if we become gudakesha. So this is a verse that's spoken by a king here. Oh. I'm not sure the king who spoke this. But let's hear what Rajovacha, what the king said. The king thus said, "We have inherited the fame of Arjuna, gudakesha. Therefore, since you have surrendered yourself and folded your hands, you need not fear for your life. But you cannot remain in my kingdom, for you are the friend of irreligion." Who is it speaking? King Parikshit, chastising Kali. The king thus said, "We have inherited the fame of Arjuna." In other words, of gudakesha. This is a name for Krishna used in the Sanskrit. The name for Arjuna is gudakesha. "We have inherited the fame of gudakesha. And therefore, since you have surrendered yourself with folded hands, you need not fear for your life. An enlightened person doesn't threaten others. So there's no need to fear, because what is the interaction? It's a beneficial interaction for them. But you cannot remain in my kingdom, for you are the friend of a religion. But someone who is enlightened, an introspective sage, an enlightened being, won't tolerate the presence of a religion. They want to help others, and they won't tolerate the presence of irreligion. This is what results when we become gudakesha. We're free from ignorance, we want to help others, and we won't tolerate ignorance, irreligion, because we know that's not where to look for being happy and satisfied in life. So this is Maharaj Parikshit using the name of his ancestor Arjuna, gudakesha. We're following his footsteps, and in that way, we won't tolerate any humbug, as Prabhupada would say. So it's possible to overcome ignorance. It's possible to understand this perplexing material nature. We just have to look in the proper place, adopt proper practices, and work for the benefit of others. Then we'll find happiness and satisfaction and abundant living in Krishna consciousness. So these are some thoughts on gudakesha. Does anybody have any questions? Yes, Yadabhakuru.
Haribol, I actually asked Prabhupada about this word.
Just see the value of Prabhupada's disciples. He can take us right there in Prabhupada's presence. Please.
I said, Prabhupada, does this mean Arjuna didn't have to sleep? And Prabhupada said, yes.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Of course, in the purport, he speaks about the darkness of ignorance. So both things are there.
Actually, the Goswamis, I was just reading, they only slept like 1 or 2 hours at night. They also conquered sleep in that way.
That's right. Also, there's a difference between, resting and sleeping. Shamsundar Prabhu, Prabhupada's secretary, said he never saw Prabhupada sleep. Like he gets up and groggy and like we do. But he would take rest. There's that story of him coming, Prabhupada was on the train, that story? He was apparently sleeping. So Shamsundar came closer and closer to Prabhupada's face just to see if he was sleeping. And all of a sudden Prabhupada just opens his eyes and looks at him. So anyway, the difference between sleeping and resting.
Any other comments, additions, or questions, anything? No. Yes, the contemplative.
Thank you, Shishu. This is something I read years ago. It was an ISKCON publication, and it was apparently taken from a Puranic literature. But anyway, it described about Arjuna's sleep that Rukmini was noticing Krishna going out in the middle of the night. And because of her attentive Krishna consciousness, this was bothering her. So after a few nights, she followed him discreetly. And of course, Krishna, it's pretty hard to pull anything over on, so she followed him through Dwarka. And after some time, he turned around and said, come, I'll show you what brings me out in the middle of the night. And Arjuna was on a state visit, so to speak, and he went into the guest house where Arjuna was sleeping, and she came up behind Krishna, and he said, come. And when they got really close to Arjuna, who was supposed to be sleeping in his guest house, she could hear the Hare Krishna vibration coming out from Arjuna's breathing, even in his so-called sleep. So I don't have the exact reference, but it was in an ISKCON publication some years ago.
That reminds me of another sleep pastime with Arjuna. When he was eating once at the school of Dronacharya, they were eating, and it was nighttime, and the wind came and blew out the candle light. But he continued eating. Arjuna continued eating. Huh?
I think that was
Vimo who kept eating. Well, Arjuna, he noticed that if I can eat in the dark, I can also practice archery in the dark. So at night, in the dark, he would practice archery, giving up sleep to do it, I imagine. So it's another example of overcoming sleep. I mean, in that sense, ignorance of material nature is one thing, but also even overcoming sleep. There's also another story of Arjuna, who for 6 months did austerities, including not sleeping, to get the shakti, or the power to fight Lord Shiva. So that's another instance of giving up sleep. And of course, we also sort of experience that in our devotional service, in our devotional lives, following Srila Prabhupada's example. He would always advise, don't waste time sleeping. He would chastise, they'll simply eat and sleep and fall down.
I forgot also, I fell asleep.
So, sleep definitely needs to be regulated. I'm not advising anybody here to go on a sleep fast or something like that. But don't overindulgence in sleep is symptomatic of the mode of ignorance, this darkness, which the whole idea of gudakesha is meant to try to overcome.
While you were speaking, I was thinking about that verse, that gudakesha, ahamatma gudakesha, sarva bhuta sarasthi. Ahamadishcha maddancha bhuta namante evacha. So, it looks like Krishna knows future, he knew past, and he knows present, and he's planning Arjuna's future Arjuna's present by knowing the future. But Arjuna was in a darkness in a sense that he was bewildered. The seventh chapter, second text, seven, Karpanna Dusso Apahata Sabha, the famous verse. That he was bewildered, he didn't know what to do. But he took a shelter of a person who is not only knowledgeable, ultimate knowledgeable, he's also reliable, I would say. Krishna is such a reliable. So, in Arjuna's case, I'm thinking like, he could not see the future, but he's planning future by seeing the presence of killing his cousin or grandfather and teacher, like this. But in Krishna's case, he knows the future of Arjuna. He already knows the result, what is going to happen. And at the same time, he's planning his presence. How it is a relevant, how we can take it in our life? And what can we make that we can be acting like Arjuna? I mean, Prabhupada is reliable and knowledgeable. So even though I'm taking shelter, but I'm still like...
Well, one thing that we have to have is strong faith. You can't be successful in executing devotional service if you don't have strong faith. And strong faith is necessary because we're not Krishna. We can't see the future. We can't see these things. Of course, as it's described in the purport I read today, by Krishna's mercy, you can see everything. And he showed Arjuna everything by showing the universal form. But we may not be in that situation where we can see everything, but how we can see is by expressing our faith. That is a type of vision. That if we have strong faith, then we'll be able to see beyond just the superficial nature of this world to the real meaning of this world and how to please Krishna. So we can see through our faith. Yes, please.
I was wondering if we have a definition of both Arjuna and Gudakesha, as far as breaking down the word parts, Arjuna and Gudakesha.
Well, Gudakesha. I'm not a Sanskritist, so I can't figure it out. Is there some breakdown? Gudakesha, is kesh mean?
Gudaka and Isha. Gudaka is sleep and Isha is
couple of
sleep.
Gudaka, Isha.
It
can be broken down, Gudakesha broken down, two words, Gudaka and Isha. Isha means?
Conqueror.
And Guda means sleep.
Arjuna.
Arjuna. Arjivam, like the word Arjivam in the Bhagavad Gita, simplicity. Isn't it Arjivam?
Yeah.
Listed in the qualities of knowledge, 14th chapter. Same as, similar to Arjuna, simplicity. Not duplicity, difference, the opposite from duplicity. Okay. Srimad Bhagavad Gita ki jai.